this woman walks by faith. So why don't you help me give a big abundant life welcome. This is my wife, Miss Carly Terrades.
Thank you, baby.
Awesome.
I've got to stand with you a little bit because...
You're a bit ornery today.
Come over here, look.
What?
Stand over here. Like
what
this.
Is this, a posed picture look, or what?
Look,
what is this?
We've got to look natural.
What have we got, the paparazzi? Hang, let's try this. How about this? Was that good? Did you get some good pictures? Okay.
I got used to this.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay. Thanks, sir. Having a good time.
All right, this little weird doofer is falling off my face again. Hang on a second. Apparently, I have unusually small ears. You got big ones? We all have our problems, right? That's what it is. Never mind. You know, today I was praying about what to teach today. Have you been having fun yet? I'm having so much fun. I'm having so much fun. It so blesses me that people travel to be here because I wouldn't travel for me. I mean, you guys are awesome. Seriously, that's amazing. That's the first miracle, right? People showed up, honey. Isn't that good? Man, that's kind of a relief, actually, you know.
Lawson and Joseph.
Yeah, Lawson. That's right. Pastor Lawson and Joseph are speaking, so they're going to show up. Amen. Yeah, but I was praying about what to teach, and the Lord gave me this title, Dangerous Faith. And this is before I knew that Ashley was teaching on the violence take it by force. So I believe that the Lord has something in this. I think he's cooking something up. Amen? We're going to jump in here. We're going to look at Revelation. I like to look at a lot of scripture. Okay? He sent his word and healed you. So you should read it now and again. You know, I wasn't even trying to be funny. Right? Revelation 12. And I'm going to start here in verse 7. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Oh, hang on, I'm reading the wrong part. Let's go back up. I'm starting in the middle there. Then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. So they did not prevail. They didn't then and they haven't now, right? But they did not prevail, nor was there a place for them in heaven any longer. The great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He deceives the whole world. My fix has arrived. Thank you. She's going to stick my face on. This is a really cheap facelift. Look. Well, I don't know. It's kind of got half my hair doing it, but you know, it's all good. I feel like the microphone's sticking up my nose. Anyone else want to try fixing me? We could, you know, we could start a microphone line.
I don't use them.
That feels lovely. Oh, thank you. PDA, oh my goodness. Get a room, honey. It's not that kind of meeting. Now let's get back to the word. We're getting distracted here. Okay, listen to this, okay? I'm supposed to preach now. Come on. Right. Getting hot flushes. Verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, and the ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Say, deceives the whole world. Amen. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven. See, this is important because heaven's going to be loud. I know some of us don't like loud music, but heaven's going to be noisy. I mean, get over it, okay? He says, now I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers who has accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And look at this in verse 11. They overcame him. This is talking about the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Now listen to this. We overcome the same way today. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. By what Jesus has done on the cross and by what we're prepared to say about what Jesus has done on the cross. This is really important because we read here that the devil, who is the deceiver, they had this big fight in heaven and he lost. And he was cast down to the earth. He's a loser. He was a loser from day one, and he hasn't quit being a loser since. Yeah. Amen. If there was a biggest loser, he would win that one. Okay? He's the biggest loser. And here's the thing we need to understand, right? He says he's the deceiver. He's roaming around. He says he didn't have a place in heaven. So he's roaming around down to earth to deceive the whole world. He has one weapon, and that is deception. That is all he has. He has no power. Say, no power. No. The only tool that the devil has is deception, because he is the original deceiver. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he knows he's already lost. He knows he's already lost. But he's coming down to earth to bide his time, because eventually he knows that his days are very short. They are very numbered. But he's just going to see what damage he can do on the earth. You know, here's the thing. Sometimes people give the devil way too much credit. The devil made me do it. The devil spoke to me. The devil tempted me. Do you think he's really got that much time to bother with you? Seriously. I mean, we give the devil too much credit. He is the deceiver of the brethren. But remember, he's a loser. He's a loser, right? It's easy. I like playing with losers because winning is guaranteed. Amen? It takes very little effort. It's not even a fair fight these days, right? It's not a fair... We've already won. Amen? See, what we need to stop doing is stop acting like we're the losers. We're the winners. Amen? We're the winners. We were born to succeed. We were born to rule and reign. We were created to prosper. We were created to subdue and have authority over everything in this earth. Amen? That's good news. But sometimes we act more like losers than we act like winners, because we think the devil has a whole lot more power than he really does. The fact is, the devil is scared of us. He's terrified of you. He's absolutely terrified of you. But part of his deception is he tries to make himself appear to be something that he's not, because he is the master of deception. And when people are deceived, they don't know they're being deceived, right? It's like he's wearing this disguise, and he tries to puff himself up and make us afraid of him, when really he's the loser. I want to look at this. This is in 1 John 4. 1 John 4:17, okay? He says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have, what? Boldness. Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As who is? As Jesus is, so are we, not when we get to heaven. Right? We all know we're going to be healed in heaven, don't we? We all know we're going to be living in a nice mansion in heaven, don't we? If you don't like your house now, don't worry. You're about to get a really good one, okay? These things are subject to change. These things will come to pass. If you don't like your accommodation now, don't worry. In heaven, you're going to have a really, really nice one. And it's not going to be cheap. You know, he paves his streets with gold. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My dad has good accommodation for us, right? He has good enough accommodations with room for all your friends, right? So if we don't like it now, don't worry, something good is coming. But here's the thing, it says, because he is, so are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven. Heaven's going to be awesome. I visited there, okay? It's going to be great. That's another time, okay? But listen, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Somebody say, in this world, right? In this world, not next week or next year or when we get to heaven, but right now, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. That means, it gets better, I know, right? It means we have the same amount of authority in this earth that Jesus did when he walked it. We have the same authority here in our seats today that Jesus did when he was walking the earth. Think about that for a minute. Think about some of the exploits, right, that Jesus did when he walked the earth. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He was a man that walked with authority. When he walked in the room, people knew about it. People knew about it. When he was around, people were like, hang on a minute, did you hear? Did you hear that? That man, that Jesus is around you. We need to bring out your dead, bring out your sick. Jesus is walking quick. We might be able to get in front of him. Maybe he could lay hands on us. You can imagine the whisper that went around the town, right? They didn't have Twitter and Facebook and Snapface or whatever it is these days, okay? Right? InstaChat stuff. They didn't have any of that, right? They had the church grapevine, which is just as effective, okay? If you want to spread a rumor, spread it on the church grapevine. It's great. It's awesome. Okay? But here's the thing. He had authority. And people started to recognize that in the way that he moved and acted. And when he operated in authority, power and miracles started to happen. You know, you can look through the Gospels and you can see the ministry of Jesus. And sometimes you think, wow, that's awesome. But we forget. We're the carriers of the King of Glory. Who is it that you received when you got born again? Right? You received Jesus. How many of you received a small Jesus? You know, just like a little bitty bit, right? You're either born again or you're not born again. Is that right? You're either born again or you're not born again. Can you be a little bit born again? And no, you can't, right? You know, we're reading this in Revelation. It says, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ has come. You know that word for salvation, it's talking about way more than just your ticket to heaven. It's talking about health, it's talking about healing, it's talking about prosperity, it's talking about safety, favor, friendship, wholeness. Those things have come to us. They've come to us. And you know what? When we received Jesus, we got the whole package. Every single aspect of that salvation came to dwell on the inside of us in the person of Jesus. Now, if that doesn't get you happy, I don't know what's going to get you happy, right? Man, when we start to see ourselves as carriers of the King of Glory, as vessels for the power of God to flow through and out of, we'll start looking at our circumstances a little differently. We'll start thinking about ourselves like winners rather than losers. Right? Because that as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. Look, that we may have, I'm going back here to 1 John 4:17. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Therefore, right, there is no fear in love. Say, no fear.
No fear.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Who is he who fears? We're the ones that have been made perfect in love, are we not? We're the ones. How many of you are born again in here today? If you're not, we can fix that at the end, okay? Right? So if we've been born again, if we've received Jesus on the inside of us, if we're carriers of the King of Glory, if we're the righteousness of God in Christ, if we have the mind of Christ and an unction from the Holy One, and we can know all things, if we are full of the power and the life of Christ, if truly we believe these things, it means that we have been made perfect in God's love. God, because of God's goodness, his power flows through us. His life, his healing, his prosperity, his deliverance are jammed in here and they go with us everywhere we go. Amen. That means that no matter where we go, we cannot step out of God's love. We cannot step out of God's healing. We cannot step out of God's prosperity. We cannot step out of God's deliverance because we contain those things. Amen. If they were to cut you open today, they'd find all of those things on the inside of you, spiritually speaking. It's in your DNA. When you got born again, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you became a new creature in Christ. A whole new creature. Something changed on the inside of you that can never go back. You're not the same person you were before you got born again. You know that? You become brand new on the inside. The life of Christ, the DNA of Jesus infected every cell in your body. Man, that's good news. That's good news, right? Look at this. Let's go back to this. He says, because there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. You see, the enemy is a tormentor. He comes to torment people, right? But it says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You see, the devil is he who fears. He's afraid of you. Somebody needs to hear that. Say to your neighbor, he's afraid of you. Right? He's afraid of you because he hasn't been made perfect in love. Fear is all that he knows. You think about the fruits of your spirit, right? They're your new nature in Christ. You have love, you have peace, you have patience, you have goodness, you have kindness, you have self-control. You have all of the fruits of the spirit on the inside of you. The devil doesn't have any of those. He doesn't have any of those. He doesn't have long-suffering as a fruit of his spirit. He doesn't have perseverance as a fruit of his spirit. He doesn't have any peace. He doesn't have any joy. He doesn't have any love. None of those things, right? All he has is fear. All he has is fear. And you think, well, is that why he can go around and he can torment people and he can make people afraid of them? No. All he has is fear. Fear is who he is. He is permanently tormented. He is terrified of you. Amen? Because that's the only thing he has. He's terrified of you. Sometimes we don't realize this. We just think, oh, well, you know, there are things in this world, principalities, powers, demonic things, and, you know, they're scary, and that's because they're of the devil. No, they're because they're of the fruits of the devil, because fear is all that he has. You imagine being the devil for just 1 minute. We wouldn't want to, okay? You wouldn't want to, because it's that place of ultimate fear, of ultimate torment, of ultimate absolute hopelessness. That's all he has and all who he is. Yeah. Now, are you still afraid of him? No. You pity the fool. I mean, seriously. That's terrible, right? My goodness, if that wasn't bad enough, not only is he completely devoid and hopeless of having any kind of relationship with the Lord, remember what you have? You have salvation. You have life. You have peace. You have joy. You have prosperity. You have health. You have favor. You have friendship with God. You're going to spend eternity in a mansion in heaven. Just think about that. Everything you have is everything he doesn't have. That's why he's the biggest loser. Now, are you still afraid of him? Let's just get this into perspective for a minute. Man, when we look at the devil, I pity the fool. Is that all you've got? Is that all you've got, you lying, deceiving, sorry little thing? Is that your best shot? Seriously? You're going to come and get you? Really? You're so sadly outnumbered, right? He's going to come against you with a cancer or with a doctor's report or a terminal disease, or he's going to come against you with doubt and unbelief and try to make you feel like you're not good enough and you're not equipped and you can't do it and you're a loser. He'll try and throw in your face things that went wrong in the past, because that's all he has is the past. He doesn't know your future. He doesn't know your future. He was the original recycler. He was into recycling before recycling was cool, okay? He just rehashes old lies. That's all he does, okay? But, you know, we have to choose what we listen to. Are we going to listen to the lies of a loser, or are we going to listen to what the Word of God says about our situation? Man, you know, it says, I'm getting excited here, okay? 1 John 5, verse 4, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Yeah. Say to your neighbor, you're a world overcomer. Yeah. Remember, the deceiver, all he can do is roam around the world. He doesn't have any authority anywhere. So he's roaming around the world, but he says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Your faith is dangerous to him. Your faith is dangerous to the devil. That's why he's going to try and deceive you out of it. Because he knows how powerful it is. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, if the devil really had that much power, he would have stopped you getting saved in the first place. Right? He couldn't get any. He couldn't stop any of you from getting saved. But what he tries to do now you've got saved, is, you know, he knows where you're going. He knows your eternity is secure. But he's going to try and tempt you and deceive you and mess with your thoughts and plant doubts and maybe circumstances or people in your life or just distractions. Hey, he doesn't even have to get creative. We can just get busy. How about we just get so busy we have no time for God? Does that still accomplish the same thing? It does. And it doesn't mean that we're going out drinking every night and doing drugs and living riotous lives and living in sin. It just means we got busy. Somewhere along the lines, we got so distracted, we quit reading the Word of God. We quit developing our relationship with the Lord. We started to put the things of the world of higher priority in our life than the things of God. You see, the problem is when we try and walk in authority, but we don't know who we really are, we'll find our authority doesn't work. We have authority, but we have to use it. You know, in Luke 9, verse 1, it says that Jesus gave the disciples power and authority over all sickness and all disease to cast out every demon, right? Over everything, every lying, stinking thing of the enemy, he gave us authority and power over. You know those words, power and authority, are exousia in the Greek, are exousia and dunamis. And they're the two, they're used interchangeably a lot in the New Testament. But it's really important because they have different aspects to them that we need to understand. Okay, so dunamis, that's talking about the supernatural miracle working power of God. How many of you want that? You got it. You already got it, right? You already got it. Amen? And then exousia, that's talking about the right to rule and reign and magistrate. The right, the dominion. You know, in the garden, one of the very first things that Jesus, he was there, right? But the God the Father gave Adam and Eve was dominion. He says, go forth and subdue the land and be fruitful and multiply and exercise dominion. Subdue everything that's on the earth, right? The fishes of the sea, the animals on the land, everything that grows, everything that's on the earth, you have authority over. You have dominion. You have the right to rule and reign and act like a magistrate. He gave it them in the very beginning. But the problem was mankind gave it away. Mankind gave it away in the beginning. Now, I wasn't going to go there, but let's just go there because it's really good. Sorry, sound people. I think I've blown your eardrums out now. We're friends, right? Okay, let's look at this. This is in the fall, okay? Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. That's nice, isn't it? The serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. He was subtle because he was a deceiver. Deception is subtle. And then he said to the woman, has God said you should not eat of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, the trees of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you will not eat of it, nor will you touch it, or else you shall die. Okay. Now this is a really interesting point that we don't have too much time to go into. But you know, even that moment kind of twisted. God didn't actually say exactly how she presented it. Remember, she wasn't there when God spoke to Adam and he gave him the instructions. But you know, here's the danger. When we have secondhand revelation and not firsthand relationship and firsthand revelation, things can get a little twisted. Things can get a little out of perspective. If you've ever played the telephone game, you know, when you speak something in somebody's ear and then they whisper and they pass it on down the chain, what happens 10 people later when it comes out? It changes, doesn't it? You see, Eve didn't get it firsthand, and so that message changed a little bit. She was easily deceived. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows on that day you will eat of it and your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Say, like God. Knowing good and evil. So in other words, Eve, you have to do something in order to be like God, or you have to get something that you're missing to be like God. You know, that was the biggest lie right there. The fact was, she was already like God. She was made in his image, right? She was given his name and his authority and his power and his DNA. She had everything that the serpent wanted. You see, the devil will only attack you for things you already have. Think about this for a minute. The thief, John 10:10, the thief, he comes to kill, to steal, and what? Destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen? So if something's in your life is coming to kill, steal, and destroy, it's not from God. Let me just help you with that right now, okay? Because you know, many times people believe that God is putting a sickness or a disease or a situation on them to try to teach them something. Would you do that to your kids? No, you wouldn't, right? You'd be done for child abuse. God's not a child abuser either. Amen? He's a good God. God's a good God. Amen? And he only has good gifts. He only has good gifts. He only has good. Goodness is who he is, not what he does. It's who he is. That's another whole sermon. Anyway, but because she didn't really understand these things, she hadn't gotten the revelation there at the first hand. She'd got it second hand. She was easily deceived and tricked into believing a lie. And this is the danger. If we believe a lie, we will hand over our authority. They handed over the authority to the enemy right there in the garden. And you can see what happens, you know. She led her husband astray as well. And then before you know it, it says in verse 10, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. And I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. That's where fear is first found in the scriptures. The fear first entered into the garden when they handed over their authority to the deception of the devil. Fear involves torment. Remember, the only thing the devil can trade you is fear, because that's the only card he can play. That's all he has. But we're the ones that have the authority. You know, I want to look at this. It's in Mark 5. Mark 5. Jesus was a man of authority, and he walked in authority. You know, authority comes from identity. This is really important. Authority comes from identity. When we know who we are and who to whom we belong, we will walk accordingly. Right? Think about this for a minute. How many of you are familiar with the royal family in England? Okay, there's about to be another royal baby due any day, actually. Okay, but the royal family, they're pretty cool, actually. You should get one. And you had one, but you didn't. Okay, awkward moment. Sorry. Anyway, the royal family are really cool, and the Queen of England is born again. Okay, she is a born again believer. Every year she does at Christmas, she does a speech out. I believe she's a tongue talker. She talks about the gospel. She talks about Jesus. I mean, she is sorted in her faith. Now, I don't know about the rest of the royal family, but the Queen is a woman of faith. She's met with Billy Graham. She's met with all kinds of different leaders. And she's really sorted believer, okay? But now, in the royal family, you can't apply to be in the royal family. There's not like a princess application. I would have applied. I could do that. Okay, I could totally diva it up, couldn't I? I mean, I could, right? Get me some heels or something. I'd have to learn how to walk in them, but didn't actually master that one. But you know, there's no application for being in the royal family. You can't apply. You have to be born into it. It's a birthright. You know, the royal family, they didn't deserve to be kings and queens, by the way. It wasn't because of their goodness or their amazing education. Or they were previously a king somewhere else and they got the resume out. Oh, yeah, you would fit the bill, right? No, they are born into the royal family by birthright, not by any other way. Even if you marry into the royal family, you still don't have the same authority of somebody that's of the bloodline. You understand that? And this is really important, because when we understand that we are of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, it changes everything. It changes everything. You see, you might not realize this, but you're from the really good racehorsing stock. You're from the thoroughbred bloodline of Jesus. Amen? You're kings and priests seated with him in heavenly places. You've been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Think about that for a minute. When we start to understand who we are, it'll cause us to walk in authority. Authority is based on our identity. Now, if you don't believe me, just when you leave here in your car, press a little heavy with your right foot on the gas pedal, okay? And you'll find that as you go down the road, a little faster maybe than you should, you might just find a policeman comes alongside you and you see the blue lights in the mirror, right? Now, in America, they do things a little bit differently than they do things in England. You drive on the other side for a start. Ashley found that out. You know, when we first moved over here, he tried to drive on the left a few times. And you know what? It didn't go well, you know, because now we're in a different kingdom, right? We live in a different kingdom. We were translated from the United Kingdom to this great kingdom called the United States of America. Amen? And over here, there's some different rules about things. There's some different laws from different authorities about how things work. In the kingdom, things work a little bit differently, okay? And so as you start driving down the road and the police officer maybe pulls you over and he says, you know, good day, so nice to meet you. He says, why'd you just show me your documents and everything else? Now, if you don't cooperate with the nice police officer, okay, if you don't respect his badge of authority, he has a radio, okay, and he can call for backup. Okay? And, you know, if you're not careful, you'll find that more of his friends and colleagues are going to show up pretty soon. Right? And it doesn't matter how qualified you are or how good you've been in the past or how safely you've driven on other occasions. They're going to take your precious little highness bottom down to prison. Right? You have to respect the authority. Now, if you really are a diva, okay, and you don't respect the authority, not only is more of his friends going to show up, he has his weapon of power, okay? He wears it on his hip, okay? Now, they don't have those in England. They have batons, little sticks to beat you with, okay? Little batons, or maybe a taser or something. I don't know. But here, he doesn't only have authority. He has a weapon of power, and he knows how to use it. Amen? They're not going to give power to somebody that's afraid to use it. This is really important because we have been given authority over the kingdom of darkness. We have been given authority over principalities and powers. We have been assigned and commissioned to go forth in this land and subdue it. Yeah. Amen? We have. We're locked and loaded. We're loaded with enough power to raise the dead, heal the sick, or cast out any devil in hell. That's what we got on the inside of us. You know, God gave me this analogy, okay, because I feel like sometimes we're walking around and we're not using the authority that we've been given. And because of that, we're dealing sometimes with situations or living with situations that we were never designed to live with. We're settling for way less than abundant life. God has more for you. Amen. Do you believe that today? God has more for you. He has more for you to experience than what you're living in right now. There's way more. There's always more with God. He's that good. Amen? Amen? And so he gave me this analogy. Now, we fly on airplanes a lot. How many of you have ever been on an airplane? Okay, good. So we know what we're talking about. We get on lots of airplanes. And when we get on the airplane, you know, oftentimes you'll have the flight attendants there, and sometimes even the pilot or the co-pilot there, and they're, hello, hello, yes, thank you for flying with whichever airline. We're glad you made us your airline of choice. You know, and they greet you as you get on, and as you get off, they do the same thing. And the Lord gave me this analogy. Like, if you got on an airplane, and the pilot was there, and he looked a little insecure, you know, like a little shifty. I mean, would you feel really confident as you sat in your seat and maybe you'd tie your seatbelt a little tighter, pull the buckle all the way around, rather than just having it loose, you know how you do when you want to stretch out. I mean, if you overheard him, you know, talking to the flight attendant, hang on a second, so is it okay if I push this button? Is that all right? And if I twiddle this knob, is that okay too? Can I do that? I mean, what about this little lever here? Is that safe to push? Can I do that one? You'd be like, does this man know how to fly? I mean, seriously, like, did you go to flight school? I mean, you know, the airlines are pretty strict about this stuff. You know, these pilots are trained, right? They don't just get a job because they're nice guys or girls, right? It's not like in the Christian world sometimes when we hire our friends, okay? just because they, God bless them, they've got a sweetheart or a good attitude. You want someone flying your plane that's qualified. I mean, he might be a really nice guy, but can he fly the plane? Right? Seriously. You want to know that someone has the authority to do that. And then if they get on and they're like asking questions like, you know, he might have had a lot of training, but he's really nervous. I mean, he doesn't seem to, why is he asking the flight attendant if he's okay? What, isn't that weird? Why is he asking her permission if he can press a knob or twiddle a flapper? Now, that's just weird. You'd think, hey, I don't think I want to fly on this airline. No one wants to fly with an insecure pilot that doesn't know his authority. You'd say, get my bags, I'm getting off, right? And now, I mean, I'm not hitting on budget airlines, but anyway, no, we won't go there. Okay, right? I'm just saying, you're not gonna have confidence to get on the plane. You have confidence to get on the plane when you know that that airline employs highly qualified, highly trained pilots that know how to respond in a moment of crisis, right? They're not going to phone a friend, okay? They're not going to get out on the tannoy, on the public address system on the plane and say, now, we think we might be crashing. Should we have a vote as to our course of action? No, you want them to make a decision. They have been given authority in that moment. You want them to be decisive, to put their training into action, to put their power and authority into play. You want them to take charge in that moment, to deal with it. Amen? They have the training. They have the experience. They have the power. They have the authority. You'd be saying, don't ask me. You're the pilot. Right? Fly the plane already, right? Some of us need to fly the plane already. Amen? We need to fly the plane already. You have been equipped with all of the power of the kingdom of heaven on the inside of you, enough to overcome any weapon that is ever formed against you. You have the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out any demon in hell living on the inside of you. Not only do you have the power, you have the authority to deal with every lie, every deception of the devil. Every single time. Every single time. Let's look a little bit about this authority, okay? Because this fascinates me. You know, in Mark chapter 5, let's go to Mark chapter 5. There's loads of good stuff in that chapter. I like it a lot, okay? I like to preach things I like, okay? But you know, in Mark chapter 5, there's some examples here of what happens when the devil starts to mess with people. He says he's such a messer. That's the problem, right? He's such a messer. So here it is in the beginning of Mark chapter 5. This is the demoniac man, okay? The demoniac man. He's obviously bought into some of the lies of the enemy. At some point, he's bought into some of the lies of the enemy. And look at the situation that he's in. In verse 3, it says, he lived among the tombs, and no one could constrain him, not even with chains, because he'd often been bound with shackles and chains. And he'd pulled the chains apart and broken them to pieces, and no one could subdue him. Here's that word again, isn't it? Subdue? All that means is he hadn't found somebody with authority yet. He hadn't come across somebody with authority yet. Remember, we are given the power to subdue the things of the enemy. One of the very first charges that we were given in the garden was to subdue the earth. He just hadn't found somebody who knew their authority yet. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran up and kneeled before him and cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, God, do not torment me." Do not torment me. There's that word again. You see, fear involves torment, doesn't it? Fear involves torment. You know, the torment is the word we get terrorism from. That's just a fancy way of saying organized fear. Fear that's organized, it becomes torment, okay? The tormentor, all right, has been after him. He says, "I adjure you by God, do not torment me." But Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" He says, "It's Legion." And it goes on, and he ends up, this is the first pig aside in the Bible. He cast the demon out into a herd of swine, okay? Now, even demons are smart enough to know they don't want to live with demons, and they commit pig aside, right? They run straight into the lake, okay? They don't want to, they're smart enough to know they don't want to live with the demons, and so they run then on into the lake, okay? I just made myself laugh. Oh gosh. But here's the thing. When the demons saw Jesus, they knew that he was a man of authority. Game over. Demons, demonic forces in the face of authority will flee every time. They cannot stay there. You know, they cannot stay where they are not wanted. They have no authority. And he's, and it just proves it. You know, when Jesus cast the demons out, they wanted to go somewhere. Because the devil, the powers of darkness, need a body, a host body, to operate in on the earth. Because they have no authority of their own. They can't just wander around as spirits, doing anything, affecting anything, deceiving anybody. They can't touch you unless they happen to find a host home. You understand that? So they need our cooperation in order to manifest or have any kind of influence on our life. And when we fail to cooperate with the powers of darkness, it renders them powerless. It renders them powerless because we refuse to cooperate with them. But when they saw Jesus, the minute they saw Jesus, they were afraid. And they begged him. They asked him, you know, what have you come? Have you come to torment us before our time? In other translations, it says, he's got the same account in Matthew 8 and Luke 8 as well. He says, have you come to torment us before our time? You see, the enemy knows that he's only on earth, like we read in Revelation, for a very short time. And what they were basically saying is, it's not fair, it's not time yet. Right? You've come to torment us before our time. We're supposed to still have some more time. They were whining, whingy little demons, is what they were. But because this man had no understanding and he'd not found yet anyone of authority that knew how to subdue a peasy little whiny, whinging demon, he had lived in bondage for most of his life. And we see a lot of believers like this today because they have not yet recognized the power of God that lives on the inside of them. They're still in bondage. They're still in bondage, right? When we start to recognize who we are and whom we contain, man, we're going to look at situations a little bit differently. What we believe directly determines what we can receive from God. What we believe directly determines what we can receive from God. You know, Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Not your neighbor's faith, or your wife's faith, or your doctor's faith, right? According to your faith, let it be unto you, right? Because we receive from God based on what we believe about him. We receive according to what we believe. You know, you'll find in the scriptures the word belief and faith are also used interchangeably. But the essence of those comes from a root word, pisteo. It means to be fully persuaded, to have trusting confidence, to have trust and to have confidence in the word of God, in what it says it is what it says it is. And we are who he says we are. We are who he says we are. As he is, so are we in this world. Man, this is so powerful. Look, authority comes from identity. But knowing who you are and the power that you contain, you know, it's easy to walk in authority when you understand that people are afraid of you. That's how dictators get away with it. Think about that for a minute, right? This is why the devil gets away with it, because people are afraid of him. So it empowers him to operate. You know, when we cease to be afraid, because we realize that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world, it renders him helpless. He's completely disarmed. Completely disarmed. I want you to look at something. You know, this is, let's do this. Let's go to Colossians 2:15. I have to stand on my tippy toes to, this is not for the vertically challenged. Did you get that up? No. Okay, hang on. Hang on, I'm getting there. I didn't put a bookmark in. Hang on. All right, this is where my paper Bible is causing me problems. Okay, Colossians. Let's look here real quick. This is Jesus, right? Actually, let's go up to 13 because it's good. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has resurrected together with him, having forgiven you all sins. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the authorities or the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing them by the cross. He humiliated the devil. He absolutely humiliated him. He is the biggest loser. The biggest loser. And no, it didn't take him 3 days in the grave to do that. He whipped his behind in no time, and then he took his keys. Amen? He took the keys of hell, and he says, you know what? Disarmed. Disarmed. The problem is, we've lived so long with dis-ease and discontentment and disappointment, we need to live a little bit with disarmed. How about that? How about we quit living with dis-ease and discomfort and disappointment, right? And start living in the realm of, hold on a second, that thing that came against me, it's been disarmed. It's been disarmed. Amen? Why am I living like a loser when God created me to be a winner? Let's start winning. Some of us need to learn how to win again. You know what? Our faith is dangerous to the devil. Absolutely deadly. You know, when you wake up in the morning, the devil's like, oh no, oh no, they made it through the night. They're awake. Right? He's terrified of you. He's terrified of you. Lest you might actually take the word and believe it. Oh my goodness. Gosh, if we would be believing believers, oh no, right? So what he comes to do, he comes to tempt us, to distract us. And how does he do that? Well, things like, I don't know, circumstances and people and rumors of wars and wars and discontentment and disappointment, right? And disease, okay? With symptoms, he'll do anything he can to deceive us, to get us distracted just long enough to take our eyes off the Word of God. Because he knows if we put our eyes on the Word of God, and oh my goodness, what if they believe it? And then what if they start speaking it? That's truly dangerous. That's truly dangerous, right? Because he doesn't mind you even reading the Word of God, but don't start speaking it. Then it's where the rubber really meets the road, right? Let's go back to Mark 5. Mark 5. I told you I like this little book here, this chapter, didn't I? Right, Mark 5. Look at this. Right, so he deals with the woman with the demon possessed dude. He's delivered, okay? Now look at this, the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 29, and a certain woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, that's a long time, people, and had suffered much under many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not any better, but rather grew worse. But when she had heard of Jesus, she was one of those ones that says, you know what, there's a man going around, and apparently he's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's a man. She recognized authority in that man. You see, when you start operating in authority, it will attract others to you. When you start walking in who you are created to be and walking like the winner that God created you to be, you know, being a winner is not based on the circumstances. You might not look like a winner. You might have never won in the past. It doesn't change the fact that God didn't make a failure yet, and he isn't going to start with you. Amen? He created you a winner, and circumstances in life do not change that. You know, circumstances in life do not change a word from God. They don't change a word from God. This woman, look, after she'd suffered much under many physicians, she spent all she had, hadn't got any better, but rather grew worse. She heard of Jesus. She came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment, and she said, if I may touch his garments, I shall be healed. She said. She spoke her faith out. This is a characteristic of what makes your faith really dangerous when we speak it. We can't just think it. We can't just believe it. We have to release it. Authority and faith are spoken every time. God created this very world that we stand on with his words. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, he framed the world with his words. He sent his word and healed you. Amen? He sent his word. Isaiah 55:11, it talks about God sent his word and it doesn't return to him void, but it prospers in the thing for which he sent it. The word of God spoken out there is no greater impact on our life than the word of God when it is spoken out of our lips. The word of God spoken out of your lips is even more powerful than the word of God spoken out of somebody else's lips. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. But when we start to get the word on the inside of us and we start to speak it, oh, that's when the devil's really afraid. That's when your faith becomes dangerous to a whole nother power, right? You become like ninja deadly, stealth mode, and the devil will do anything he can to shut you up. Have you noticed how sometimes in the middle of a crisis, people get really quiet? They stop speaking. Cat got their tongue, right? That's the moment when we need to get our confessions out. Thank you, Ashley. We have a whole list of confessions that you can avail yourself of, okay? But here's the thing. That's when we need to get our confessions out and say, hang on a minute, Mr. Devil. You may come at me with a javelin and a spear, but who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistine? Coming at me with, I've got the armies of the living God on my side. I pity the fool. I'm sorry, maybe you didn't recognize who I was. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You obviously saw me as just a 5-foot-tall little woman. Oh, you underestimated me, seriously. And that's when you say to your neighbor, hold my crown. I gotta go deal with this demon. Right? Come on now. You start getting your royal on and it's over, big boy. Okay? I mean, it's Holy Spirit smackdown at that point. Right? I think, does stuff ever come out your mouth and you're like, where did that come from? Listen to me all the time. So look, he says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. She said, if I may touch his garments, I shall be healed. Now we know the end of the story. Immediately, her hemorrhage was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And you might think, well, you know, that's pretty cool, you know, but why is it that other people, you know, didn't maybe touch the hem of the garment? Well, actually, word got out and they did. What this woman did started to have an effect on other people. And later on in Mark chapter 6, you can read here in Mark chapter 6, which verse is this? Verse 56. Later on down in verse 56, he said, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and pleaded with him, with Jesus, that they may touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many who touched him were healed. You know, there's something really very, very significant about the fringe of the garment. You know, the fringe of the hem of the garment, there's some words there that I want you to understand. Where it says fringe and hem can also be translated as wings. As wings. Wings, okay? Right? In Malachi, it says, Malachi 4:2, the son of righteousness, who's the son of righteousness? Jesus, shall rise with healing in his wings. You know, she saw a man. She recognized his authority by the way that he carried himself. And it was no coincidence that she said, if I may touch the fringe of his garment, the hem of his garment. Actually, if you study this out, what she was really saying is, if I may touch the tassel of his prayer shawl. The tassel of his prayer shawl. When you see tassels in the Bible, it's a symbol of authority. That's why when King David was in the cave with Saul, he cut off the hem, the tassel, to prove he had authority over him. Do you remember that? It was about his authority. It was a symbol of authority. And it's not there by any mistake. It's there intentionally on purpose. It was also a symbol of deliverance. Now, you can see this in Numbers 15:38. Remember, this woman, she would have had some understanding of Scripture. She says, Numbers 15:38, they remind that tassel. It says, put tassels on the end of your garment. And they were there to remind people of the Lord's commandments and how he delivered them out of Egypt. It was a symbol of authority, and it was a symbol of deliverance. She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, the tassel of his prayer shawl, he's a man under authority that has authority over my situation, and I'm going to grab my deliverance. That's what she was saying. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? But you know what? That wouldn't have happened if she had not have said it. Sometimes we sit and we think God is up in heaven deciding how people receive. God wants you well. Amen? He wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you prosperous. He wants you delivered. He wants you living life abundantly, more than abundantly. Amen? Not just life, but abundant life he's made available for you. John 10:10, the devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, but Jesus, He came to give you life and life more abundantly, over excessively, abundantly, above and beyond, more than is even needed kind of life. That's what he paid for you. Many of us are living way below his standard. Amen? Because we haven't yet realized that we have authority, or if we have, how to walk in it. So authority comes from understanding who we are in Christ, understanding who we belong to. But it has to be released in our confession. I want you to look here at Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Are you getting something good?
Yeah.
Okay, Hebrews 4, verse 14. He says, let us hold firmly to our confession. Let us hold firmly to our confession. You know, this is really important. Confession and profession, used interchangeably as well, and it means to say the same as. What are we confessing? It's not just, we're not just going to hold firmly to our confession, but we need to be saying the same as who? The same as God. Same as Jesus. What is God saying about your situation? Rather than confessing every symptom, every negative thought, everything that's wrong in our life, man, if we would take the word of God and believe it and then start to speak it and confess it and say the same as Jesus is saying over our situation, right? Rather than what we feel about it or what it looks like, man, we become dangerous to the devil. We start to walk in a place of deliverance, of breakthrough, of healing, of wholeness, of prosperity. You know, Mark 11, 23, this is the last bit of scripture I want to, well, maybe, we'll see. I won't say that because that's maybe a bad, inaccurate confession. But let's go, otherwise you sound like one of those preachers, finally, and then you never actually get there. Okay, we'll just have to quit because we won't finish. Right, look, lesson the fig tree here. In verse 22, Jesus answered them and said to them, have faith in God, for truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it will come to pass, and therefore he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them. There's a whole lot more speaking there than believing. Have you noticed that? A whole lot more speaking than believing. People typically don't have a problem believing. They have a problem speaking. They might be believing it, but they're not seeing any fruit because they're not speaking it. This is crucial. The devil wants you to be silent, right? We got to speak the word of God out. And look, just real quickly, I know you're not into like Greek, some of you like Greek stuff. I'm a bit of a Greek geek. I like the stuff, okay? But it's not everyone's cup of tea, okay? But listen, in this scripture, right, Mark 11, 23, there's three different words here that we can use for the word say. So it says say in there multiple times. And each one it says that is actually a different word in the original language. Look at this. The first time you see the word say, it's epo. It means a command. Jesus isn't asking them to do something. He's telling them to do it. That's important. He's telling them, whoever says to this mountain, what he's saying is, speak to the mountain. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't measure it up for size and see if you can overcome it. Don't look at it. Don't lie in its shadow. Speak to it. It doesn't matter how big it is, how ugly it is, how long it's been around. Speak to it. That's what he was saying. The second time he says this, okay? Second time you see the word says there is laleo, and it means to speak out. To speak out, to use your own voice, and to be bold. To use your voice. You know, when you were in school, they told you, when you were indoors, indoor voices now. This is not that time, okay? That's not it, right? This is now where you get loud. You need to get loud. You need to get out there. You need to be bold. You need to be bold. The righteous are bold as a lion, amen? We need to boldly declare the word of God over our situation. And the third time he says it is the word Lego. Right? Lego, like a building block. How many of you played with Legos when you were a kid? Okay? There's no coincidence they're called Legos because that word means a systematic set discord. These are the building blocks of life. The building blocks. Systematic set discourse. A set conversation. This is your confession. Some of us need to decide, what is our confession now in times of peace before we're in times of war? right? You prepare in times of peace for war. You don't wait till the war's coming before you arm your soldiers, right? Amen? So we need to get, you know, Ashley was talking a little bit about this, how an athlete, how a soldier has to train. We need to do this the same as believers. We need, and it starts by dwelling upon and meditating upon who we are in Christ until He becomes bigger on the inside of us and more real to us than our circumstances. Amen. When the Word of God report is bigger than your circumstances on the inside of you, it's going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. When the Word of God's report, when the good report, the report of healing, the fact that we are healed of the Lord, that God says everything that we touch prospers, that we have an abundance for every good work, right? When the scriptures come up on the inside of us and we start to speak that out, our faith becomes dangerous. Who wants dangerous faith? Amen? Here's the truth. You already have it. You're not trying to get something you haven't got. You told me at the beginning of this session you were saved. Does that still your confession? You haven't lost your salvation. Praise Jesus. Then you have the faith of Jesus on the inside of you. You have like precious faith. You have the Jesus kind of faith on the inside of you. Do you think the Jesus kind of faith is ever lacking in any department? No. Do you think the Jesus kind of faith on the inside of you is enough faith on the inside of you to heal the sick, raise the dead, or cast out any demon in hell? Absolutely. You've got the Jesus kind. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. You've already got it. That's the good news, right? You're locked and loaded. You don't need to do a thing. You just got it because it's your birthright. The minute you receive Jesus, you were born into the royal family. You are born into the royal family. You have a whole new bloodline, a whole new inheritance, a whole new power, a whole new authority that you didn't have the second before you said yes to Jesus. That changed everything. That took you from a place of darkness and torment and fear and powerlessness and weakness to a place of victory, of life, of healing, of health, of over-the-top abundance. Amen? That gave you supernatural powers you never had before. Amen? Man, I can't wait till this new movie Aladdin comes out. I love that movie. When I was a kid, I used to watch it when I was 14, Aladdin, right? And I don't know what your view is on Disney and Pixar and all that. I'm not going to ask you. But the bit I love in that was the genie of the lamp. He'd say, phenomenal cosmic powers, itty-bitty living space. You know, sometimes we're looking at our itty-bitty living space, our itty-bitty house, our itty-bitty finances, our weak little frail bodies, and we forget that we have phenomenal cosmic powers. Amen? I gotta tell you this testimony, and then we're gonna pray for people, because I know you're probably thinking, "What about lunch? What about lunch?" Right? Man can't leave by bread alone; he needs pizza as well. Okay. So you know, sometimes things. Have any of you had a storm or a challenge in your life ever? Okay. If you haven't, hang around. Somebody you'll find has. Okay. You know, recently we had a situation where it looked like things were a little bit impossible. It looked like things were a little bit impossible. This just happened real recently, okay? And so Ashley mentioned that we were going to Australia, and God had told me 2 years ago that we were going to Australia, and then last year He told me, this year's the year. Specifically, this year's the year. I've got ministry for you to do there. This is going to be powerful. You're going to set up a ministry office. This is part of my plan for you. So I'm like, cool. So we set the trip up. We booked the flights, okay? Now, we all get to the airport. It turns out Ashley's visa doesn't go through. Okay, I don't know. There's a technical glitch in the system. So he has to fly back to Denver. Okay, so there I am thinking to myself. It turns out that Ashley and Hannah got stuck in LAX, and me and the boys went on the plane to Denver because my crazy husband planned a crazy schedule that we landed at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then we had to preach a few hours later. Right? Anyway. Praise the Lord. So I knew that one of us had to go, and that one of us was going to be me, because people were flying from all over the place to the meeting in the Gold Coast. And that wasn't fair. You know, we need to go and take our response to God. And I knew that this was what God had set up. You understand that? God had given us a plan, and a challenge was coming against that plan. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we look at challenges and we just think, well, maybe we must be doing something wrong. Well, maybe you're doing something right. And here's the thing. I wasn't about to look at that challenge and say, oh, well, I guess Ashley just can't come and I'm going to have to go and do all the ministry myself and, you know, and maybe he'll get to go. I'm like, no, something on the inside of me was just mad as a hornet. I was mad because God had said. Some of us give up too easily on the promises that God has given us. Healing's a promise, you know. Prosperity is a promise. Deliverance is a promise. Amen. We need to not give up so easy. This is the tenacity that Ashley was talking about. The violent take it by force. So engage now. We've gone into next gear, dangerous faith gear. The devil's messed with the wrong family. Right? The devil's messed with the wrong family. So I'm there on the plane, and first of all, I'm sniveling. You can ask the boys. Yes, I was a mess, right? But once I'd gone over, got my emotions under control, okay, I'm just being real with you, got my emotions under control, I started to say, you know what? This is not right. This is not right because, God, this was your plan, and we followed your step every word of your plan every step of the way, and there's ministry, and there's people that need to hear what Ashley has to say. There's people's miracles. There's people's breakthroughs. There's people's deliverances, and those people are still going to get those, and the devil doesn't get to have a say, right? I mean, I just got down to it. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think so. You've messed with Mama Bear. You've poked the hornet's nest now. It's on. It's on. I said, Jesus, I need someone to help me. Sometimes that's a really good prayer. Lord, I just need someone to help me, right? So we get there, and then we land in Gold Coast and get off the plane to find out, women, you'll cry with me here, my luggage had not arrived. Okay, and I was preaching the same day in my tennis shoes. And neither had Zach's luggage. In fact, we had Hannah's and Ashley's suitcases, and they had ours in LAX. It was brilliant. So then I had to think, well, you know what? I could really snivel about this. This circumstance, this challenge could get me really distracted. Or I'm going to suck this up. I'm going to harness my emotions, and I'm going to let come out my mouth only what the Lord lets come out my mouth. If you can't say something good, say nothing at all. Right? Help me, Jesus. Amen. And so in that moment, I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna go with it. We went and got some clothes, had a quick shower, and off I went to preach for 3 hours, having had no sleep for 2 days. Okay? Praise the Lord. But all the way through that trip, I'm thinking, no, you know what? This isn't good enough. This isn't good enough. The devil looks like he's winning, and I don't like that. I don't lose. All I know how to do is win. I'm a winner, I'm born to win, I'm destined to win, and I don't lose. All I know how to do is win, right? So I just started speaking out. So this is really interesting. The minute we get to the venue, okay, there I am, finally caught myself together a little bit, walk into the venue, and this woman comes up to me, and she says, oh, Carly, nice to meet you. Where's Ashley? And I said, oh, well, you know, his visa got held up, and so I'm hoping he's going to join me in a few days. And she goes, well, I think I can help you. She says, I'm the one to help you. I said, yes, you are. You're the one. She goes, I'm an immigration agent. I'm like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It was a complete supernatural turn of events that enabled Ashley to get there. And he didn't actually miss really any ministry. I mean, it was just God set this thing up. We saw over 100 people healed, delivered, set free. I mean, we got testimonies upon testimonies. It was such a powerful, significant trip. But, you know, what would happen would have been different if I'd started to let come out of my mouth what I was feeling. You know, there are so many situations, so many testimonies that I could tell you that I don't have time. You know, we get back from Australia, and then the same bag that didn't arrive on the way out, they didn't arrive on the way back either. Go figure, right? I said, devil, you don't get my ministry trip, you don't get my husband, you don't get my family, and you don't get my luggage. Amen. So I phoned up Delta Airlines when the bag doesn't arrive, and they said to me, well, you know, here's the claim form, this is the process, you know, you can put a claim in and you get money back and this, that, and the other, and tell us what was in the suitcase. I said, no, you don't understand, my bag's coming back to me. Amen. I'm declaring it right now, the devil's got to get his hands off my suitcase. That's my property, and he is coming back to me. And the first guy, I think, thought I was a little bit crazy, so he puts me through to somebody else and says, listen, I need somebody to believe with me this bag is coming back. Are you the one? I don't even know if this guy was born again. But I think I convinced him. And he says, I believe. I'm like, amen. Because that's all I need. Someone to agree with me. So he says, well, I said, don't give me any of them claim forms. I'm not making a claim. My bag is coming back to me. So he puts the phone down. Listen, 2 hours later, and here's the other thing. I declared, that bag is coming back to me. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Full content. I remember the story of David at Ziklag when he went out and he recovered all. He recovered all. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I declared that over my suitcase. I spoke it out. 2 hours later, we're shopping in Safeways. This random stranger phones up Ashley and he says, are you missing a suitcase? I said, well, yes, we are missing a suitcase. So it turns out, he says, I'm out here on the north side of Denver on this cycle trail and I'm just riding my bike. I know, it gets weirder. Hold with me. It's a good story. I'm just riding my bike and I see this suitcase in the bushes, just dumped in the bushes. Nowhere near the road, nowhere near the airport. I'm like, did it fall out of the plane? What happened? It was that pilot, you see, or the one I was talking about. Don't get on the plane with him. Left the back door open. No. So anyway, he says he found our little luggage tag in there and he called Ashley. This guy says, the reason I went into the bushes, now how many of you, if you found a bag dumped in the bushes, would go anywhere near that thing? I mean, I wouldn't. There could be body in there or, you know, what kind of weirdness, right? It could be the crime scene. I'm not getting involved in that. Anyway, so he says, well, I used to be a baggage handler for over 30 years for Delta Airlines. I'm like, yes, you did. So he says, I'm going to go home to my house. He had to ride his bike because he's in the middle of nowhere on a dirt track. I'm going to cycle back to my house, get my car, drive my car to the trailhead, hike in, drag the suitcase back to my car, and then drive it to Denver Airport baggage office. Well, I mean, Denver Airport baggage office didn't quite know what to do with me at that point because the woman in the baggage claims office was talking to me and she's like, well, I don't know quite how this happened. This has never happened before. I says, well, let me tell you how this happens. You see, I believe in a God that delivers. I believe in a God that answers prayer. I believe in a God that's interested in every single detail of my life. And when he spoke to me and he says the devil has to bring back my suitcase, he has to return it to me with nothing missing, nothing broken, I believed his word. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. And let me tell you, when that suitcase showed up on my doorstep the next day, there was nothing missing, nothing broken. My clothes were still folded inside. The devil has to pay. Amen? He doesn't. If only we become believers that know how to believe the word and speak the word, our faith becomes dangerous to the plans of the enemy. We start living like winners rather than living like losers. How many people in here today are ready to win? All right, so I know it's lunchtime, but can we just change the schedule a little bit? Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take my 10 minutes back from earlier. Listen, how many people in here need to have a breakthrough today? Yeah. Amen. How many people in here today need to receive healing in their body today? Yeah. Amen. All right, I want you to do this. I want you to stand up where you are, because it will take me forever. Okay, I want you to stand up. You don't even know what you're responding to yet. Stand up today. If you need a breakthrough, if you need a healing, if you need a physical manifestation of healing in your body, okay? Now listen, if you're sitting down, it's not going to work for you, so you might as well stand up. Just stand up in agreement. Thank you very much. Now usually I get people that are sitting down to go and lay hands on the people that are standing up, but as you can see, we're slightly outnumbered. So here's what we're going to do. Believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? Don't worry. I've done this before and no one's died yet. And if they do, we can raise them from the dead. Okay? So this is what we're going to do. I want you to lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. I know you're going to have to touch people. Get over it. I know this is really awkward for some of you. Could have been worse. I could have asked you to hold hands. Then that's really sweaty. You don't know how hard to squeeze and it's awkward. The shoulder's less intimidating. Okay? Now listen, as the power of God flows through you, there's plenty left for you. Okay? So people say to me, what if I've got sickness in my body? No, it doesn't matter. If you're sick in your body, you can still lay hands on somebody else, and as the power of God flows through you, it's going to heal you and the person you're touching. Amen? So I'm going to pray. We're going to release the power of God today, And it's going to flow through you. And some people are going to start to feel really hot. Some people start to feel a bit quivery, a bit weak at the knees, okay? Some of you might start to feel some pain leaving your body or some sort of physical manifestation. Some people feel absolutely nothing. Some people laugh and want to roll on the floor. All of those are absolutely normal, okay? There's no right or wrong way to do this, but I just wanted to give you a little warning there, because sometimes people get disconcerted when things start moving on the inside of them. I'm going to start speaking things out, and if they pertain to you, if I call something that belongs to you right now, which you would like to discard, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a disease, maybe it's a thought pattern, if you are responding, I want you to wave madly so that I know that you're responding, okay, because I want to pray specifically for you. Does that make sense? Are we ready? Now listen, this is the last chance to leave the room if you don't want to receive from God, okay? But that's the last chance I'm giving you. Get off the plane now, okay? The power of God is in this place. Amen. No. I said the power of God is in this place. It's in this place. Amen? Amen. How do I know that? Because you brought it. You brought it. You have the power of God, the dead-raising power. Dead-raising power living on the inside of every one of these believers today. Believers lay hands on the sick, and what happens? They recover. So right now, if you've got a prayer language, just use it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Right now, I release the power of God to flow through these believers from the top of their head to the very soles of their feet. We command all sickness, all disease to be loosed from their bodies. Infirmities to be loosed from their bodies right now. We take authority over every lying, stinking, rotten symptom of the enemy in your body. We command all flesh to become whole and healthy. There it is, right there. There it is. It's running down from the top of your head. Some people can feel heat on the top of your head. It's running down. The power of God is running down through your body right now. It's pushing out sickness. Demons are leaving. There is deliverance happening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Right now, so someone has a chronic back pain. You have chronic back pain. Where's my back people? Over here, over here, over here, anywhere else. I don't want to miss anyone. Respond with your hand. Right here, right now, I take authority over back pain in the name of Jesus. I release the power of God to flow through your spine from your very neck to your coccyx. Right now, pain is leaving your body. There is pain leaving your body. There's vertebrae that are becoming unsquashed. There's bulging discs that are becoming... Somebody has a herniated disc. Somebody has fused vertebrae. What are they called? Vertebrae. Is that you over here? The fuse, but right now, I command new discs in your back. New discs in your back. New strong bones in your back. I declare health over your bones. Pain is leaving your body. Right now, in Jesus' name, we loose these backs. We loose these backs. We unpinch these nerves right now. Sensation and feeling. There's paralysis being healed. Paralysis being healed right now. There's feeling coming back into dead spaces. There's feeling coming back. Somebody's had a numbness, a tingling in their body. A numbness and a tingling. Right there, right there, right there. Right now, I release that numbness. I release that tingling, that burning sensation. Someone has a problem with their heel when they walk or when they run. A heel problem. Over here. Over here, over here, over here. Someone's really excited about it over there. Right there. Right now, listen. If people are around you with their hands up, put your hands on them specifically. Right now, we release healing into those heels. Healing into those feet in Jesus' name. Right now, I come against heel pain. I call plantar fasciitis healed. Problems with the arches of your feet. The arches of your feet. You are flat-footed. Right now, someone's getting new arches in their feet. They're getting new arches in their feet. Thank you, Lord. There's a shoulder blade. As you move, you don't have full momentum in your shoulder. It grinds. It's painful. Who's that? Over here. Over here. Over here. And over here. Anyone else on this side? Over here. Over here. Right now, put your hand on your shoulder. Right now, healing. Healing in that shoulder now. Healing in those shoulders now. In Jesus' name. healing in those shoulders now. Pain, leave. Full mobility. I declare over you full mobility. Full mobility. Somebody has a torn tendon. Torn tendon. Over here. Over here right now. Health to all tendons. I come on. Reattachment. There's a reattachment happening. There's a reattachment happening. Thank you, Jesus, for muscles, for ligaments, for tendons that are reattaching themselves. There's a reattaching happening right now. I'm hearing stability. Somebody's getting stability. Stability in their walking. Somebody has unstable walking. They have instability in their walking over here. Right now, you're getting stability in your walking. Stability, firm-footedness. That's what I'm hearing. Firm, sure-footed. Sure-footedness. There's a healing happening in your walking. There's an alignment is a word that I'm hearing. Alignment. There is a lining up of bones, of vertebrae, of hips, of shoulders. There's a straightening happening. A straightening and a lengthening. A straightening and a lengthening. Straightening and a lengthening of bones happening right now in Jesus' name. Kina basina basina basuri anamienta. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kina basina. Somebody has a... There's a ringing in your ears. There's a ringing. Over here, over here, over here, over here, over here, over here. Oh, lots of people. Okay, listen up. It's kind of hard if you've got a ringing in your ear, but listen up anyway. Right? Right now, we release that ringing. I release that. We come against that. We command that ringing to cease now in Jesus' name. Hearing, open up. Hearing loss. Hearing loss. Hearing loss. Somebody specifically has hearing loss because of loud noises. Loud noises. Maybe this was a workplace injury. Right up here. Right now, I just declare healthy, whole, and healed. Hearing. Hearing ears. Ears to hear. Ears to hear. Right now, in Jesus' name, ears to hear. We turn hearing back on. Hearing back on. Kina basina basuriana. Thank you, Jesus. Ears to hear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm hearing arthritis. Arthritis in... But you. It hurts to do this. It hurts to do this. Show me what you over here, over here, over here, over here. Okay, anyone else? I don't want to miss you over here. Right now, I come against arthritis. Arthritis is leaving. Arthur's leaving. He's gone. Arthritis is gone. Pain and inflammation and swelling. Leave now. Kina basina basina basina. I'm hearing the word stenosis. Does that mean anything to anyone? A stenosis. Whatever that is right now, over here. Okay, right now, I just speak healing to that. I speak healing to that, Jesus' name. Somebody has a hole in their heart, in the middle of their heart. They had a hole in their heart that's closing. I'm seeing other holes, other wounds that are closing. There are wounds, there are holes that haven't healed properly. Right over here, right now, I speak closure to those. Supernatural closure to those wounds in Jesus' name. Supernatural closure to those wounds. Thank you, Lord. Kina basina basuri anamienta. Isana bakina basina. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Somebody has a... There's nervous systems problems. You have a problem with your nerves. Specifically with the nerves in your body. You have problems with the nerves in your body. Is that you? And you? And you? Anyone else? You? You? You, 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 I get you, I get you. Right now, I just speak life and health to every nerve in your body. I speak life and health to every nerve in your body, specifically the nerve endings, the synapses. Right now, I speak connectivity to your body. Connectivity, connective tissue disorders. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Paralysis healed in Jesus' name. Nerves stop. Some people's bodies reporting pain when it shouldn't be. There's a pain. It's like a fibromyalgia. Like a fibromyalgia type pain. Right now I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. We command that. We speak peace to that. We speak peace to that. Thank you, Lord. Kina basina basu. We speak peace to that. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just release healing. in everyone that's hearing the sound of my voice right now, everyone that's hearing the sound of my voice right now, I speak peace over mental conditions. Right now, I speak clarity. I come against autism. I come against autism spectrum disorder. Autism spectrum disorder. Right now, we declare you done. Nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. We disarm you. We disarm you. Communication problems, speech impediments, communication issues, cognitive reasoning and impairment. Right now, I declare over you the mind of Christ. I declare the mind of the righteous, the memory of the righteous is blessed. He's blessed. Total recall. That sounds like a movie. Total recall. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's had a diagnosis. There's two that I'm thinking of. Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Right now, those are lies. Those are lies. That is not what you have. Right now, I come against that. We break that word that's been spoken against you. We call it null and void. Null and void in Jesus' name. I speak peace to tremors. Peace to tremors. Peace to your body. We believe and receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for mental clarity, for peace in our hearts, for peace in our minds. We just declare freedom from depression. Deliverance from depression. Deliverance from depression, from suicidal tendencies right now. We just cast that demon down. We say, no, you will not have part in our heart. You will not have part in our mind. You have no part of us. No part of us. No. Somebody's had a hereditary thing going on in their family. It's a gene problem. It's a gene problem. Right now, listen, you've got new DNA. Let me just tell you this. You've got new DNA. Amen? New DNA. That thing doesn't belong to you. We take authority over that. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, for every sickness and every disease that cannot stay. It's gone. We command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Listen, how many people have felt the power of God working through them? I'm going to be specific here. How many of you know something has changed in your body? You have? If you felt something change, you could try and do something for me that you couldn't do before. Just real quick. Bend, stretch, move. Try do something that you couldn't do before. Where's my shoulder, people? How are we doing? Look at all these arm wavers going on now. All right. What about my neck and my back, people? Move around. How are we doing now, neck and back, people? What about my feet, my people with the feet problems? How about those people? Where are you? How are you doing? Listen, I want these people, if you know there's been a change, you can come on up here, I want to see you. Real quick, we're not going to take long. Really quick, let them out. Come on, if you had your hand, come on down here. Quick down. Run. Quick, you got new feet, new backs, new everything. Come on down here. Oh, there's rules.
Anything.
Pain's gone. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's awesome. Praise God.
I had pain in my heel, the very bottom, and it's been hurting. I've been praying over it, but it's totally gone now.
The pain's totally gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Pain in my heel. I've been dealing with plantar fasciitis and bone spurs. It's gone. This one went away years ago at a different session with one of the other healers here, or God's a healer, but
now they're both gone.
I had a bad diagnosis of arthritis in my spine, my neck, and my shoulder, and I have no pain there either.
All the pain's gone. Pain-free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I had back spasms yesterday, a really bad one.
Bad back spasms.
Bad back, and it is totally gone. So
back spasms are gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My left leg was shorter than my right one. I was like this, and then she called up about the legs.
Your left leg was shorter than your right leg. Okay.
And then I felt it grow out, and I was even.
And you feel even now. You feel different. How long you had this for?
It's been years.
Years, and now you feel 100% even. You look on the level. You look even. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is awesome. What happened? How was you before?
before.
So what did you have?
Both.
Pain, what was it?
Pain in ankles.
Pain in the ankles.
Pain in the knees. Bone on bone, both ankles, both knees. So I walk funny, I have vertigo. It's getting probably 80% better already.
Already 80% better. Amen. Praise God. I believe by the end of the day, you'll be 100% better. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How was you before?
Okay, so I was hit by a drunk driver, so I have chronic back pain. And if I stand or sit for prolonged times, my back really, really aches. But now...
Come on, look at her dancing. You couldn't do that before? You couldn't do that before? Praise God. Hallelujah. What happened, sir?
I had a slight rugby injury where I didn't actually dislocate my shoulder, but I slipped the disc, which caused it to kind of shift up like that, and it's been like that ever since. But when she prayed for the shoulder injury, I just felt like this extreme stretching going on in this area, and I was like, my gosh, even to like down my neck, and I was like, man, this is really, I could sense the power of God just causing it to lengthen it back out as it should. So I just praise God for that.
You felt it in your body. Hallelujah. You're healed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What happened?
My ear was ringing and it stopped.
Your ear was ringing and the ringing stopped. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What happened, ma'am?
I had rotator cuff problems, shoulder problems, and it's gone.
Shoulder cuff problems are gone. Rotator cuff problems are gone. Healed. Thank you, Jesus. What happened?
I was operated on Monday for ovarian cancer. And before Carly started praying, the Lord told me I was healed. I felt the power of God going through me before she started praying.
Wow. Power of God's gone through. She's healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Yeah. What happened, man?
Dear Heavenly, I just thank Jesus, but I've been praying for my bones for a while, and I felt, you know, a little bit of healing, and then I get it back, and I'm believing it's gone forever now. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. My bones aren't hurting like they used to hurt. So.
Man, you're healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
The chiropractor told me I had a vertebrae missing, and I felt myself totally just grow and feel that vertebrae come in. And
your chiropractor told you had a vertebrae missing, and then what did you feel?
I just, when you said, you know, that bones were recreating and that your spine was whole, and I just felt myself just
you felt taller. You felt the
I felt taller. Yeah, absolutely.
Hallelujah! That's awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Hi, I'm Isaac, and I had a problem with my back, and you know, when I before a big breakthrough somehow. I'm not able to move at all. But today when she called out on the back, I believe I'm made whole completely. And then the second thing is one of her sons, Nathaniel, had a hole in his heart. And when she mentioned that, God said, pray for him. And I believe that he's completely made whole. And then our youngest son, Elijah, you know, when he was in the hospital, you know, they wrapped him so tight, you know, that he was not breathing for something. He was fully blue. And the Lord said, just go right now. And so I went to the place and we got him breathing again. But he's not been able to speak well. So when she spoke about speech impediment, I believe that God has healed him and made him whole. And he's going to speak excellently well.
Amen. He will. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take your seat. You don't want to miss this. Take your seat real quick. You don't want to miss this. Don't worry. Lunch is all good. It's all good. We're on schedule. It's fine. Take your seats real quick. So really quick, I want to tell you what you saw today, praise God. That was just some of the testimonies. There's going to be some people with testimonies this afternoon. Let us know. Write in. Tell our booth. We want to hear your testimonies, praise God. We want to hear about how you've received your healing in your body, praise God. And if you didn't feel anything yet, you've heard the messages today, hold on, praise God, because you're going to feel it in your body, amen. You're going to be fully healed, amen. So-